Just a short reading this morning. We're in the book of Hebrews in chapter 12. And we're reading the first three verses. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before us endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. We know that God will bless the reading of his holy truth. This letter to the Hebrews, many believe it was written by the Apostle Paul. Others would debate that, but we're not worried about that this morning. The fact of the matter is that it's part of the inspired and infallible Word of God. It was written to Hebrew Christians who had put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They had turned from the religion of Judaism. They had heard the gospel. They had embraced the Savior, and they had turned from Judaism to Christianity. And that was a mighty step to take in that day. And because of that step of faith, these people were now suffering for their faith, suffering persecution, suffering in their own families and own districts. They were being excluded. Some were being asked to leave home. Others were being disowned by their own parents. And others, they were finding it difficult to make the change from Judaism to Christianity. And so Paul writes this letter to them, this mighty letter called the letter to the Hebrews, to seek to show them that Jesus Christ was superior to anything they had in Judaism. You find the word better occurs in certain chapters, particularly at the beginning of the book. He was saying that Christ was better to anything they had before. And I'm sure that many of us here this morning could testify to that in our own lives. We look back to the days, in our unsaved days, when we were in the world, when we weren't walking with the Lord, and then we came to know him, and Christ is better to anything we had before as we walked the paths of worldliness. And he's seeking to show them that Christ is superior to angels, he's superior to Moses, he's superior to the priests of the old economy, he's superior to the sacrifices that were offered upon the altars, that Jesus Christ is better, that he is supreme. And so he's seeking to encourage them as they go through this time of suffering and persecution. You'll notice that the chapter begins with the word wherefore, and that just means that it's a continuation of what has been said. And in chapter 11, we find that Paul has been teaching these Hebrews about men and women who lived in the Old Testament, their forefathers, and he was men like Abraham and Moses and so on, and he's showing them how that they prevailed by faith. They went through hard times, they went through difficult situations, but he shows them how that they prevailed and overcame by faith. And that's the great chapter of faith. And then he says, wherefore, because of what has been said before, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside the weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. You see, friends, the Christian life is a life of faith. In these opening verses, Paul is saying that the Christian life is like a race being run. It's very interesting as you go through your New Testament to find the different figures that are used to describe the believer. The Lord Jesus, for example, spoke of his followers as lights. He said to them, "Ye are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." So we're likened to lights. And God wants us to shine as lights. And when you shine, you draw attention and you attract people. And he wants us through our lives to be shining lights for him. And then we find that sometimes we're referred to as branches. The branch and the vine. And the thought here is of fruitfulness. And God not only wants us to shine as lights, but he wants us to bear fruit in our life. He wants us to abide in Christ so that we might bear fruit just as the vine, its branches bear fruit in it. So sometimes we're referred to as lights and sometimes as branches. Sometimes the believer is referred to as a soldier or soldiers. And of course that intimates that we're in a battle. We're in a spiritual battle against the forces of darkness. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. And the Christian life is a constant warfare against the spiritual enemy. And so we're to put on the whole armor of God. God has given us weapons and he has exhorted us to fight the good fight of faith and to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. Other times, we are referred to as strangers and pilgrims. That's another way we're referred to, strangers and pilgrims. You see, a stranger is someone who doesn't belong. Peter makes the announcements. He welcomes any visitors. And he's welcoming people who don't usually come here. They're just a stranger. And we're strangers. We're in a world that we don't belong to. This world is not our home. We're looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. And we're not only strangers, but we're pilgrims. And a pilgrim is someone who's on a journey. And that describes you and me this morning. We're strangers and pilgrims. We're on a journey. We're not going to stay here forever. We're going to a place whose builder and maker is God. So we find all these different things to describe the believer. But here we find that we're looked upon as an athlete in a race. An athlete in a race. Yea, you know, the athlete, he is involved in a race. And Paul is showing them that they can finish the race. That's what he's saying. He says, here you are and you're discouraged and you're disillusioned and you're weary and you're tired of all that you've had to go through because you've decided to follow Jesus Christ, and he wants to encourage them and show them how they can finish the race. You see, friends, you may start a race, but if you don't finish it, you'll not gain the prize. I'm told that all these marathons that are run, whether it's London Marathon or Belfast Marathon, that the people who run the marathon, doesn't matter if they come in last, doesn't matter if it takes them 5 or 6 or 7 hours to run it, if they finish it, they get a certificate to say that they have done it, that they have finished the course, but if you don't finish it, if you drop out, you get nothing at all. You see, dear friends, if you don't finish the race, you'll not gain the prize. And these Hebrew believers, they were weary and discouraged. They were at the point of dropping out. They were at the point of giving up, of throwing everything into the air and saying, I've had enough. But Paul seeks to encourage them to stick in there, to stay the race and to finish it. And we see here as he speaks to them about this race, our encouragement in the race. Our encouragement in the race. He says, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. That word cloud of witnesses there can be translated testimony bearers. My, it's always encouraging to know that someone else has succeeded in the thing that you're seeking to do. And he's referring to chapter 11, to the people in chapter 11. It says we're compassed about by so great a cloud, a company of witnesses, people who have been there and got the T-shirt, as it were, people who have proved that you can finish the course. They started it and they conquered and they finished. And it's always encouraging when someone else has succeeded in the thing that you're seeking to do. It spurs people on to do better. I remember when I was a wee fella in the home, just started primary school back in the 50s, the early 50s, that one night all the family gathered around the old radio that there used to be, and they listened to the race when Roger Bannister broke the 4-minute mile. And my many had tried to do it before, and no one to that very moment had run a mile in less than 4 minutes. People had tried, but had failed. And then around it, Roger Bannister, he broke the 4-minute barrier. And you see, when he did it, a whole lot of other people started to do it then. They broke it. He set the standard. He proved that it could be done, and it spurred others on to train harder and to run faster. Remember when Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II was crowned queen in that same year, very near to her coronation, that Sir Edmund Hillary and his team, they conquered Mount Everest. That had never been done before. People had died trying to do it. But Hillary and his team stood on the summit of Mount Everest. They conquered it. They did it. They proved it could be done. And since that, others have done it. Others have done it. And you see, friends, that's our encouragement. In spite of the obstacles and difficulties these people in Hebrews chapter 11 had endured, they succeeded in running the race and finishing the course. And they did it by faith. And so Paul is seeking to encourage these disheartened and discouraged Hebrews. To think of them, to look at them, to press on. And he says, they did it, and you can do it. Maybe you're here this morning, and you're discouraged, disillusioned with things. Maybe you feel like dropping out, going somewhere else. That's the easy option. Dear friends, let's press on this morning. Let's remember that others have finished the course and we can finish the course. We see our encouragement in the race. Others have done it. We see here our exhortations in the race, because they're in this race to run effectively, there's some things we need to do. He says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight." You know, the athlete who competes in the race, they strip off everything apart from a vest, a pair of shorts, and a pair of shoes. When they get down to run that race, the tracksuits go, everything they have apart from that which is necessary. You see, they lay aside everything that would slow them down, everything that would hold them back, everything that would hinder them. And if we believers are going to make progress in the Christian life, we need to lay aside every weight, every hindrance that holds us back, every obstacle that comes in to our way. The runner needs to feel absolutely free. The Christian needs to be free from the things that would hinder him or her, that would keep them back from giving their best for God. If there's something keeping your back this morning, getting in the way from giving Christ the central place in your life, then Paul says, let us lay aside every weight. Let's lay it aside. Then there's something else here. Lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. This is something else we need to lay aside and deal with. You know, friends, sin will trip us up and make us stumble and rob us. The sin which doth so easily beset us. What is your besetting sin this morning? What is the thing that hinders you? What is the thing that you've tried to conquer and tried to get over and tried to stop, and maybe it's defeating you every day? You know, Paul was writing in the context of chapter 11, which is the chapter of faith, and a sin that's common to all of us is the sin of unbelief. How often we doubt God, how often we question God, how often, my, we're consumed with worry because we question God. It's the sin, my, of unbelief, and we need to lay aside our unbelief and trust God. We need to stop limiting God and start looking to God and trusting Him and depending on Him. See, the Christian life, this race that we're on, it's not a 100-yard sprint. It's more of a marathon. It's more of a long-distance race. The marathon runner, he needs endurance. He needs staying power. A whole lot of runners start well, but they haven't got the staying power. The marathon runner plods on. They plod on through the wind and through the rain and through the storm and into the calm and up hills and down hills. He keeps on going relentlessly. He keeps on plodding on. He doesn't give up when he comes to the first hill. Dear friends, you don't drop out. You don't give up when you come to the first problem in your Christian life. Not at all. We need to be plodders. We need to keep plodding on. Need to keep plodding on. Yes, we need to lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And we need to run with patience the race that is set before us. That word patience can be termed endurance, and that's exactly what the runner does. He plods on, he perseveres, he keeps on going in spite of what circumstances or temperature it may be. He keeps plodding on, friends. Oh, brethren and sisters, this morning, we need to keep plodding on, you know. My, nobody has ever said that the Christian life or Christian service is going to be easy. Not at all. We need patience to plod on. Patience with people. You know, if we're growing in grace, one of the virtues that should be seen in our life is patience. The Lord Jesus had patience with people. He had patience with Judas Iscariot. He knew all about him. He knew he was crooked. He had patience with James and John. They wanted the most uppermost places in the kingdom. He had continual patience with Peter, in spite of Peter's blunders. He had patience with Thomas and his unbelief. We need patience with people. As we run this race, we need patience in prayer. Psalmist said, I waited patiently upon the Lord. That would indicate to me that he had prayed about this thing, for a while. And he said, I waited patiently on the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. Sometimes we expect God to answer our prayers that we pray this morning, tonight, or tomorrow. It doesn't always work like that, friends. We need to keep on praying. It says, he inclined unto me and heard my cry. See, we need patience with people and patience in prayer and patience to make progress. Patience to make progress. People today, in the world in which we live, everything has to be done instantly. Instantaneous. Everything has to happen immediately. Somebody rings somebody up, they're expecting an answer right away. People are looking for instant success and instant progress. That's not how life is. That's how life is not in the Christian way. You see, businessmen here, I'm sure they'll agree that it takes time to build up a business. It takes time for things to take place in church work. It takes time and patience. And you will never become a mature Christian overnight. Never become a mature Christian overnight. There's many things you have to learn. In so many different ways, and over the years we should be growing. We start off on the milk of the word, and then we move on to the meat of the word, and that progress goes on in our lives, and all the time the Lord is knocking off the edges and the hard places, and he's shaping us out, and he's fitting us for the kind of person that he wants to use and bring glory to his name. Dear friends, let us lay aside everything that encumbers us and entangles us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. We see here this morning our encouragement in the race. Others have run it and finished the course. We see our exhortations in the race. And then he says this, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And that's our example in the race. That's our example in the race. The writer here says the Christian life is a race that's being run. We're in a race. We're running the race. And he says, there's things you need to do to help yourself in that race. You need to lay aside every weight. You need, dear friends, to press on the sin that doth so easily beset us. But most of all, you need to run this race looking unto Jesus. Setting your attention on him, being focused on Christ. He is our example. In Hebrews 11, we've been considering men and women who were winners, but here we have the greatest winner of all. And The writer doesn't say, run the race looking unto Abraham or looking unto Moses or looking unto anybody else. He says, looking unto Jesus. He is our example. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. He is the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. He is the one who started us on the race, and he can enable us to finish the race. Friends, we'll not finish the race in our own strength and in our own way. We'll run the race and finish the race by looking unto him. Paul says, look what Christ endured. Look what Christ endured. He endured the cross. He suffered the shame. But for the joy that was set before him, he did it because of the joy that was set before him. Because he saw, that out of his death and out of the cross, there would be a multitude, a countless multitude, one for him. Dear friends, the only way to get through life as a Christian, the only way to run the race and conquer as a Christian, is by looking unto Jesus, turning our eyes upon him. Whenever you feel discouraged and down and feel like dropping out, do you ever look to him? He didn't drop out. It's well he didn't. He didn't give up. He didn't throw everything to the side and say, you know, I'm off. He endured the cross, despising the shame. We see here our encouragement in the race. Others have run it. Our exhortations in the race. Our example in the race. And then we see, finally, our exercise in the race. Because Paul says here in verse 3, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your mind. It says, consider him, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. Dear friends, you know, people get wearied and tired. We're human beings. We get wearied and tired. And their weariness and their tiredness comes because of the discouragement and the trials that are along the way. And the danger is that they'll drop out and give up. And that's what the writer was concerned about. Lest they would faint, be weary and faint in their mind. I think he had in mind maybe Elijah. Elijah, that mighty prophet that did such exploits for God. And yet there came the moment when Elijah got so depressed that we find him under the juniper tree, asking God to take his life. He says, Lord, I've had enough. Had enough. Or like the two on the road to Emmaus. When they went down the road to Emmaus, Jesus says, what are these and why are your hearts sad? They were downcast and disillusioned. Or John Mark, who left the work. My dear friends, there's those who ran well and were out and out for God. But today they've fallen back and they've become wearied and fainted in their minds. They got their eyes on the wrong thing and on the wrong person. Paul is saying to these Hebrew believers, when you feel like giving up, consider him. Consider him. Yes, he's our example. The next time you feel down and feel the pressures of life getting to you, just sit down for a moment and think of him. Consider him in his sufferings. He suffered criticism. Remember, they called the Savior a glutton and a drunkard and even a deceiver. They criticized him. Consider his pain. Consider him not only in his suffering, consider him in a sovereignty. He's the author and the beginner of our faith. He's the captain, as it were. Dear friends, this morning, the captain's in control. Here we are in our country this morning, in our nation today, and people are uncertain about the future and whether the right decision has been made or not, and all these things. Remember, we are the people of God. Here we have no continuing city. We're strangers and pilgrims. But in the midst of this all, we live in this world. We live in this nation. Let's remember this, that no matter whether there's a prime minister or not, that the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. That he is sovereign. That he is in control. Dear friends, this morning, the race we're on will not be easy. It'll be difficult and hard at times, but we can run this race and we can finish this course and we can do it by looking unto Jesus and trusting him for our tomorrows and trusting him to guide us and lead us and give us the strength to finish the course. As you go out into the week that lies before you, none of us knows what the week will bring. But let's keep on running the race and let's keep our eyes turned upon Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, the little chorus says. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. May God bless his word.